The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Religious Studies, it's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
It's hard to believe, only second week of class, and we've already worn out so many people that we've got a skeleton crew here.
Yeah, sometimes that's just the way it works out, Jim. I blame the email / myself, or maybe in the opposite order of those two things.
We always know what you're thinking.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. There's only 15 weeks in the semester is a good turn of phrase when you're an academic, and having two of them down, I got a text from Professor Evans last weekend over Labor Day, and it was just unprompted, 6.25% is what it says. And I'm like, are we in the middle of a conversation? She goes, no, that's how much of the semester is over. I was like, oh, the positive person there. Yeah, she is.
Did she draw big black circles all over the calendar?
And red were they official only. NOAA yeah. charts?
Oh, my God.
Which it's a felony to deface.
Sharpie gate.
Hey, wait a minute now.
Oh, I was just thinking.
I'm traumatized.
If only we had a way to analyze the kind of things that Dan would draw over a map. Professor Dan Maggio's here from First Organization. Like,
looking
let's see.
Very
got
first
a big
today.
Picture of Hurricane Dorian.
Yeah, I do try to dress up. So I'm on video now so much that my boss said, could you get away with the white t-shirts and put something nicer on? Yeah, I do try to look professional.
So I'm thinking, like, what would happen if you had a Sharpie and you added, like, a star to the first logo or, you know, something like that?
Well, I can tell you who would reprimand me immediately.
Uh-oh.
As the branding and design standards.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, for sure.
Those people.
Well, we don't mess with the old English DM around here either.
We do not. No, we don't. Not at all. I cover up my shirt.
Hey, and an old English D is an old English D.
Come on. That's,
I mean, period.
Absolutely. The reason the Tigers have their name is because of the nickname of the student athletes at this university who were the Tigers first. And then they became the Titans after a key football game. So there's your history lesson for today.
Thank you.
Continuing around the table, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Just got back from Denver.
Yes. And boy, are my arms tired.
I bet they are. That's a lot of flapping.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I fortunately had a good tailwind behind me. That's all. So,
anything you can reveal about your trip to Denver that we can look forward to?
I was doing dog food packaging.
Oh, dog food packaging.
What?
Dick Van Patten, 30 years ago, created a line of dog food.
Check this out.
So I'm doing the branding for it. That's
was all. He there?
No, he's long past.
Oh, I didn't know he was dead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm smiling really big because all I can think of is David Letterman. Oh. Top 10 body parts or Ben Patton's.
Oh, dear Lord. Just,
number one. Yeah, but he had a dog food
yes.
company. Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. Very so. Wonderful dog food company.
Okay. Well, they flew out to Denver.
Yep. So, flew me out there, worked me like a fiend, and all is good.
So excellent. Were representatives of his family there? Are they still part of this company?
Actually, there's a company that owns them, and the representatives were there. And we had respondents, you know, from all over Denver. They sat around a table. They were moderated. And we got insights to what people buy as far as dog food. Interesting.
Interesting.
That's very interesting. Hmm.
What makes their dog food different than the other dog foods?
Could
it be eaten by cats, too?
That too.
No, they actually. Versatile kind of food.
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird demographics for dogs that I never knew about until this trip. So.
Like short hair, long hair demographics.
No, we're talking fat, nervous, and agitated dogs, and little odd things like that. There's all kinds.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, including...
Clearly.
Dick Van Patten.
Dick Van Patten.
Adam Rich.
Peter Anxious yeah. Dogs.
Yes.
You stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize, too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on Facebook or ask to listen on your favorite smart speaker by saying... Play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We've got a wonderful new set of questions here. Dear Matt and panel, I hope the summer has been kind to you all. Over the last few months, I've enlisted the help of my family to come up with interesting questions for the show. They've been diligent in doing so. Me not sending them off is negligent, though. These questions have been on my computer for weeks now, and rather than wait for the big one to tumble us into the ocean, and the last few earthquakes have been the biggest ones I've ever felt, I'm sending these 20 questions now. Enjoy. Warmest wishes from Valencia, California. It's Frank Burrows.
Thank you, Frank.
Yes, we will pray for not the big one. Did he say
sending his kids off to school?
I think that he was just alluding to these earthquakes that were in California this summer.
Before they fall into the ocean.
Before they fall into
the ocean. So he meant the whole city. Okay.
Yeah. What was the first television station in the state of Michigan? I'll even give you this. It was called WWDT. Went on the air in 1946, but it became what we know what now.
WWJ?
No.
WDIV?
WDIV is what it says. Oh, Channel 4. Yeah, WDIV. Channel 4.
Didn't they just... The people that own Vincetta Garage just bought that. Remember?
You're kidding me.
No, the broadcasting on 8 Mile.
Oh, okay.
Was it? I just read from the mayor of Oak Park that they got like $600,000.
Oh, that Art Deco building? Uh-huh, interesting.
Do they have enough parking?
No, they're going to be parked on my
street.
It's
still got a big antenna behind it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. That could be part of the ambiance. So. Well,
could be. Could you name, too bad we don't have Stephanie here. Could you name four of the six songs that Queen played at Live Aid?
We Will Rock You.
Let's see. No, they did not play.
Radio Gaga?
Oh, no, they
Radio
did.
Radio Gaga, for sure.
My bad.
Yes.
Radio Gaga and We Will Rock You. Let's see if we can do two more.
We Are the Champions?
Yes.
I'm thinking back to the movie.
You didn't
now.
Do.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody. The two you did not mention are Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
Yeah.
Okay. And Hammer to Fall was the last one. Hammer to
good
Fall.
Good choice.
Pretty good. Sorry about We Will Rock You, Jim. I was just like, but it's so gauche. Like,
well, I was thinking, where would American sports be without Queen's music?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Everything that's played in a ball game comes from Queen.
What was the last movie that Dean Martin appeared in, 1984?
Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run 2.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, put he and
two heads together, we can get it.
He and Sammy Davis Jr. were in the black... No, was it the Camaro? Pretty sure it was the Camaro.
I love how you remember the car.
Of course. And then there was also the other one with Adrian Barbeau. And
that's Cannonball Run 1.
Were they in the second
one? The Lamborghini. The first time I saw that movie, I fell in love with the Lamborghini. And to this day, beautiful on my car. Bucket list is to rent time on a racetrack with a Lamborghini.
It would be a lot of fun.
So. Okay.
All I can think of right now is, I have to warn you, I'm Roger Moore.
Oh, that's right. He was in it, too.
That's a really good movie. Man.
That was hilarious.
Basically, it's just one big cameo opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About it, like the Love Boat used to
like
be.
Like the Love Boat.
No, you know what it was? It was the 80s version of It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Times 10.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too. I knew this was going to come up this season sooner or later because the very first NFL game, it was Bears and Packers, and every team has a remodeled logo because it's, quote-unquote, the 100th season of NFL, give or take, two leagues, right? But that commercial they had during the Super Bowl in January had all the living NFL greats and a whole bunch of up-and-comers all in the same 45-second commercial, and I got a... Mad, Mad, Mad World, I got a Cannonball Run vibe from that. I'm like, you literally got all these people together. Tom Brady literally is wearing every ring he has. And he's like, are you going to play? And he's one by one taking them off. He's like, give me a second. You know, I just absolutely hilarious. You got to find and see that commercial if you haven't seen it yet. Just for the Americana of the last image is this middle school female who has completely changed the way that high school football is done in the state of Nevada. And they are literally alluding to the fact that this could be the future of American football. And I was like, that's relatively progressive considering Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
So what are they doing differently?
Well, it had to do with females being able to play as Title you know, nine. Mostly yeah. male-dominated sport.
It just
hasn't
hit the immovable object yet.
Right. But there was something about how funding was given to middle school and high school programs, and she broke down those barriers at the school district level so that either women could play with men or there would be a separate league and they could compete
Title
against
nine's
each other.
Well, Title IX is going to have that kind of effect in high school and college. So.
Well, that and the and fact that high. Not many people are playing American football anymore for what we know about what it does to your brain. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you don't start expanding, you literally are excluding half the population from being a part of the game. So
or changing how it's played.
Yeah, or changing how it's played. Because
and the lingerie bowl just doesn't do it.
No, it does. It used to, but not anymore.
No.
My guess is you'll be able to guess very quickly one of the three official patron saints of Ireland.
St. Patrick.
But could you name the other two?
Ooh.
Was there a St. Declan?
No, but that's a good guess. one starts with C and one starts with B.
Christopher?
Oh, nope. Cold Keel. Columba.
Columba. Yeah. There we go. St. Columba.
They don't say Columba. They right. say Cold Keel.
Right.
Okay.
And
what's the other one?
Female. B is Barbara? The first letter. Bridget? Barbara's a good one, but it's not. Bridget. Bridget.
St. Bridget.
Oh, okay. St. Gotcha. Bridget. I think it's cool that they have multiple patron saints, you know, because, you know, saints keep coming and they got to dole out, you know, patron saint of this webpage, patron saint of this webpage.
Microphones, you know, patron saint of whatever.
The color red on walls.
Yes.
What's the saint that you bury? Is it upside down? In,
it's St. Joseph.
St. Joseph.
Yep.
Is it upside down?
When you want to sell a house, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the garden.
Well, what's the theory behind, you know, what's the thought behind
I
that?
I don't know. It sells more saint statues.
Okay, I guess. I mean,
I thought it was
like Hail Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking place. You know, I think it's the same shtick.
Or Tony, come around, help me find what can't be found. Yeah, exactly. Pray to St. Anthony. We have trivialized you into nursery rhymes.
Excuse me while I stand back. There's the lightning bolt. It's Jim. Man. That's awesome.
What instrument's name is roughly translated to the term jumping flea?
Ukulele?
It's
a ukulele, yes, in Hawaiian. Jumping flea. Very interesting. Mm. It sounds sort of like the twang of the strings, you know? Who doesn't like that?
Tiny Tim.
Mm-hmm. I mean, tiptoe through the
tip. Oh, and have you guys ever seen the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain?
Apparently not.
You have to see it. They do a great cover version of Nirvana. It smells like Teen Spirit.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
I'm dead serious. They also do Queen, and the best one, they actually do Shaft.
Huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Jim, I'll send you a link. You'll laugh your tail off. You wouldn't believe.
That's awesome.
And they do it in tuxedos, too. Nicely done.
I'm thinking of that internet viral video from a few years ago where it was Thus Spoke Zarathustra, but it's all grade school band members, and the time they get to the payoff climax, everything just sort of falls apart. My kids, whenever they want to smile, we always watch that video. What common teaching tool was invented by a person named Albert Stallion in the 1960s while working for a company called Alliance?
The taser.
We heard about that last time. Tool. That's Tom Swift.
Oh, that's right.
Teaching tool. Teaching I think tool. The reason Alliance was brought up is because in the beginning you could only buy these from Alliance.
Where's Beth when we need her?
It's not a globe, is it?
It's not a globe.
A teaching tool.
Particular class that
it's
we
pointer?
Would see. Ubiquitous.
Laser pointer?
No.
Where is it?
It's ubiquitous. It's pretty much the standard these days.
Whiteboard?
It's a whiteboard. Oh, yeah, there's one in the room with us right now.
In the 60s, that was in
the 60s.
I thought it was just like a greasy, slippery surface. I mean,
yes, yeah. Todd was lamenting yesterday we kind of miss the blackboards.
I miss chalk and board.
Sometimes.
Much
now,
better.
I want to know what happens to all that dust from the dry erase. Where is that?
You know what?
It's in our lungs.
I discovered this summer that erasers that we used to use are really good. I mean, if you've got a clean one, for cleaning the fog and stuff off the inside of the windshield of your car.
It's true.
The problem is, with no more blackboards, there's no more erasers. So.
I'm sure you can find
them.
On Amazon, yeah.
At Greenfield Village, under glass.
Oh, my Lord. In what city did Mikhail Baryshnikov defect to the West in?
Montreal?
Sorry for the double preposition, but...
Montreal?
Paris?
Wasn't Montreal, but you're close.
Toronto?
Toronto is what it says here.
Slowly working my way down St. Lawrence.
Yeah. I would have Nureyev said, was Paris.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have said that it was an American city, but this is me being very small when that happened.
North American city.
Yeah, North American city. Good enough. Good enough. What famous author has used these pen names? Beryl Evans, John Swithern, Richard Bachman.
Like a Stephen King, J.K.
Stephen
Rowling.
King, okay. Yeah, that was all Stephen King.
Stephen King, some of the weirdest names.
Yeah, he just does it on purpose.
And weird ideas.
True.
And very weird ideas.
Slightly warped.
The It Part 2 opens up in the theaters, people are getting excited about scary stuff.
That's a movie you will not see Dan in.
I never saw It Part 1.
If you watch Part 1, you'll know why I don't want to watch
Part 1. Oh, okay.
Scary stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody likes clowns anymore.
And scary clowns.
Yeah, but it was kind of creepy.
All of his stuff is creepy.
Yeah. But this had clowns in it.
in sewers too, right?
Yeah. Not many people know that the relatively famous, but mostly for the corny aspect, TV miniseries from the 80s that was made of It, where Tim Curry was playing evil clown. He was just given guest actor status, even though he appeared in every episode of the show. It's kind of interesting that kind of melded into the...
Is that because maybe he didn't have a speaking role?
He spoke.
He spoke.
I mean, his voice is one to be reckoned with, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
That was a spooky TV show on its own. But then, you know, you go and you see the book is 1,200 pages, and you're like, geez, I don't know if I think I have a...
Take it to a movie? Yeah. You can take some of the clamps off of it?
I don't know. You get to the part, all I'm going to say is you get to the part where you find out that the universe exists on the back of a space turtle, and it's just, I'm like, okay. It was kind of cool when you were in the 50s there for a while. Where is Yuri Gagarin buried?
Yuri Gagarin.
His ashes are buried in a very specific place, by the way.
His hometown?
No.
In Lenin's tomb?
No, but I think we sort of mesh both of those.
The Kremlin?
We might be good. It's the Kremlin. Mm. Yeah.
I was,
in the walls of the Kremlin.
I was trying to remember. There's a Smithsonian article about him.
He was a major hero.
Yes, yeah, but
he
was. I'm trying to remember. Like when he came back to Earth, didn't his capsule land somewhere else and he ejected from it?
Really?
I'm trying to remember. There's a story.
I don't remember that.
I swear I saw it in the Smithsonian. They're talking about how when he came back to Earth, they recovered the capsule all right.
Really?
But he was like in the next county over or something like that.
That's crazy. No, I never heard that before.
I don't know. Doggone, another thing I got to find it besides the ukulele orchestra.
Who was the first NHL player to be descended from a father who also played for the NHL?
Was it Sid Abel?
Wasn't Sid Abel, but don't think too far from where we're sitting, as we always say.
Oh, well, it wasn't Gordy, so it must have been Ted.
Yeah, Ted Lindsay's father, Bert, played for the NHL in the early days.
What team?
Bert did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say. Detroit's Ted played, you know, it says was Bert Lindsay's son.
I'm trying to remember, was it Sid Abel, his grandson, played for St. Louis, if I remember that.
Oh, wow. What famous actor-singer was born Leonard Franklin Sly? He had an alliterative stage name, R.R.
Roy Rogers?
Roy Rogers' name, Leonard Franklin Sly.
That doesn't sound too cowboyish, does it?
I wonder
it
if
doesn't.
Dale knew that when she married him.
I wonder what Dale's real name was then.
Dan, did you do any research on Bert Lindsay?
I wasn't prepared.
Oh, sorry.
Could you get back to me?
I will get back to you. Yeah, absolutely. I have a feeling that Dave is going to be able to answer this question very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What publication did artist Norman Mingo do his most iconic work for? Mouthful of Cookies is
Mad
partial
Magazine.
Credit. Mad Magazine, yes.
What, Me Worry?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So he was the first to draw Alfred E. Newman?
No, he was the famous cover artist.
Oh, the cover artist. Okay, that makes
And you
sense.
Do know Mad ceased publication.
Yes, they did. It's pretty sad. Very,
I miss Spy
sad.
Versus Spy to this day.
Yeah. Very, very sad.
And my friend was actually the last art director on it. So
really?
Oh, sad. Yeah, he's moving back to Michigan. So.
They literally aren't going to be producing any content.
No new content. They'll be releasing classic content.
That makes sense. I see. Well, but a number of publications have like gone 100% online and found a new life there. But that's
no, there's no new content. And they were joking, Al Jaffe, who's like 97, is still doing the Mad Foldings in the back.
Unbelievable.
He outlasted the magazine.
Wow.
It seems strange that Mad Magazine would quit at a time when we have a government that's Mad Magazine.
Just mad red.
But you know what it is? It's almost like, it's kind of like watching Saturday Night Live. Like, how can you really parody the ridiculous?
Well, true.
Yeah, it's difficult. Speaking of that, who is the current longest tenured performer on Saturday Night Live? Are you ready? Started 1993. Incredible.
Longest performer.
No.
The hint is that he had a very long, illustrious career leading into SNL from Nickelodeon. Hint, hint.
A regular?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to think of some of his more iconic characters. Let's just say that whenever they play Black Jeopardy, he's always the Alex Trebek.
Oh, Kenan Thompson.
Kenan Thompson, yes.
He's been on there since
1993.
No, really?
I want to say that he joined when he was just 18 or 19.
Wow.
So,
no, but isn't the announcer? I mean, would that count?
Don Pardo?
No, not Don Pardo, the guy that took over for him.
Yeah.
Daryl Hammond.
He's been there a long time.
Yeah, but
right?
He was a performer. Then
he was a performer, yeah.
Right. And then he became the announcer. So would that count?
Right.
Ish?
I don't know.
So if...
Oh, I'm not sure he goes back to 1993. That's a long time ago.
That's a real long
time. No, I thought he was before that. Gerald Hammond?
Burt Lindsay, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Played, without going too much into this, in 1917, 1919 in the NHL for the Toronto Arenas.
Oh, my God.
He also was with the Montreal Wanderers as part of the NHA. Which, of course, you're going to ask me what that is, and I don't know.
National Hockey Association?
Sure. Yeah, that's sure.
Wow.
So anyway, and he retired after the 1918-19 NHL season. He retired. So he didn't play that long.
It's interesting that the National Hockey League encompasses more than one national.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're heading
more. He died in Sarnia.
So. Oh, well, that's too bad.
Passed away in Sarnia.
Close to Blue Water.
Yep.
If Mara were here, she'd be able to answer this question. In ballet, what's the difference between first and second position?
A whole lot of pain.
Partial credit.
Is that,
yes.
Is that lead? Is first position lead?
That's not what it says here. It's what you're doing with your body in the first position versus the second position.
Writhing in agony.
A lot of plies.
I'm in unknown territory here, so I'm not going to make any guesses.
I think Mara's only brought it up a couple times, but she was shipped away to Canada, actually, to do ballet high school, and it just didn't work out, and then she became a chemist. It's sometimes.
Can we save this question for her? Can we, table it?
But she would know probably almost instantly. In first position, where you start, your feet are touching each other together, and the second, they get 1 foot apart. No pun intended. So that's the difference for
We're going to take a defeat on that one.
I don't know if we've ever had anything that approaches the way that we might be able to solve this problem here. In what year was the first computer installed at the White House? That's a good question.
That probably differs from when the first year was being used.
I believe that would be true.
I'm going to guess 1976.
Okay, you're going to say 76. We're going to give everybody a guess and see who can get closest.
I'm
going to
say 81. Okay.
I'm going to say 83.
I mean, you're all very, very
Where's
close.
Where's Kendra?
1978. And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm giving
Carter
it to
the Carter administration.
Oh, Carter's. Yes, exactly.
And what was it used for?
Was it a Commodore 64?
I bet you it was a Commodore 64. They played Pong.
Yeah, the Atari 2600 doesn't count during the Nixon administration, does it?
It was probably Amy's toy.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, what were the little handheld games? What's the company that made those?
Oh, Tiger Electronics?
No, not Norelco, but those little handheld electronic games. I mean, you ran the football back and forth.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Texas Instruments made a few of them.
Yeah.
Professors, what do Tony Duquette, Tony Walton, and Tony Kushner all have in common besides they all have the first name Tony?
Oh, darn.
They're all playwrights?
Really close.
They have different last names.
They're actors.
They're all authors.
They've all won something.
Tony.
Tony is correct. Yes, they are costume designers, scenic designers, and writers for plays. That's where Jim picked up from Tony Kushner. Although I can't say the word Kushner without, I have to shiver every time I say it. Let's see. What is Paul McCartney's middle name? Oh, that's a good one, too. I like that.
Paul.
Is it an unusual?
Not Yoko.
It is not Yoko. It's not Earl. Paul
Methuselah. Earl.
That's
Paul Jason. Let's see.
I don't know.
A saintly name?
We've been doing this. It is a saintly name.
Okay.
It's
Saint Bridget.
Saint Columba. No, we've never. Cold I don't deal. Know if we've had this problem before. And I think that Beth probably could answer it right off the top of her head.
She sure could, I'm sure.
Paul McCartney's middle name is Paul. His first name given is James. It's the end of that.
Oh, he's got a great first name then.
Yes,
absolutely. He should be proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. What famous composer's music was featured in the film A Clockwork Orange?
Oh, well, several, but one of them was, what's Purcell?
No, who's the other one? Wrote Chariots of Fire. Is that the one? Vangelis?
So I'm seeing a classical composer.
Oh, well, Beethoven.
Beethoven is the one.
But he wasn't the only one.
But he wasn't the only one.
Queen Mary's funeral music from Purcell was in there.
That's right. That's
a number of other things. Mm-hmm. Sort of synthesized classical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is some great music in it.
Yeah.
Of course, when you listen to it, it's kind of scary to think what was going on when the... when that music appeared.
So did we get it?
Yeah. No, oh, okay. Yeah. Beethoven is all that we were going for here. At least that's what was supplied.
Well, because that's when he was being conditioned. That's what they were playing.
What is the Greek equivalent for the Roman god Vulcan of the volcano?
Fire.
Yeah. The smith of the gods. Not saying like John Smith, but like the smith. E. Starts with the letter H. It's one of the long ones.
Heraclitus?
No.
No.
But sounds really Greek.
Sounds really Greek. Greek.
Yeah, Greek.
not Hercules.
So it's Hephaestus.
Hephaestus.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that the sheriff's sidekick on Gunsmoke?
No, that was Festus.
Oh, Festus. Okay, I was close.
Hephaestus. Hephaestus.
Mr. Dillon.
Oh, my gosh. Everything goes back to television. 70s and 80s TV.
Of course.
I feel like this is definitely the sort of thing that I would bring up that Jim could get off the top of his head pretty easily.
No
just
pressure.
Because of your background, you know. The seven deadly sins, Jim? Don't we have a course in that?
He's
there's
lived
lust,
all.
There's hate, there's greed.
Envy.
Or avarice. Envy, gluttony, sloth. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's only two left.
What haven't you done this week, Jim?
Yeah.
Well, when you are...
I've covered all of those, I'm sure.
When you take great positivity from something that you did instead of sharing it with others.
Envy?
No. Any ideas here? This is interesting.
Plagiarism?
I was going for pride.
Okay.
And when you lash out very, very negatively in a fit of passion.
Anger.
It's, anger. They call it wrath. Is what
wrath.
They call it.
Oh, wrath. Okay. That was a ham.
When you want to destroy. So yeah, you actually you hit them all up. Interestingly, I heard hate in there, but hate is actually not one of the seven deadly sins.
That's really what I was thinking of instead of wrath.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. Same thing. Greed, envy, gluttony, sloth, lust, pride, and wrath. Interestingly, you got them in the exact order for the ones that you named that they were on.
Wow.
The paper. It's always freaking me out when things like that happen.
Like I said, Jim just lives it. That's
no, I'm just thinking of what makes life fun.
I want to be careful and mention, I did not think you knew these, Jim, because of...
from first-hand experience.
It's like, well, he's a religious studies professor.
His daily regimen. What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, but your specialty lies in a different area than the seven deadly sins.
He's a sinful man.
Every confessional moment, all of these come up at once.
And how can we not bring up the movie Seven with Brad Pitt?
Oh.
Freeman.
I hated that movie.
Yeah. I love that movie. It was so creepy.
Oh, it just...
The opening credits.
It's just...
Absolutely
incredible. It was well acted.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe when I look up, I see that that's all the time that we have for today. So it's time to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
Been a pleasure.
Professor Tubbs.
Sayonara.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.